You can walk into almost any big box store right now, or just click a button online and buy a perfectly functional apron for like $5, maybe $10. And it will absolutely keep the flour off your shirt. You know, it'll hold a wooden spoon. So why on earth would you spend your precious weekend hours measuring and cutting and pressing and sewing one yourself? Welcome to the Pitcot Podcast. I am your host, Bill Pitcot, and I am absolutely thrilled to be here today.
And I am Annabelle Pitcot. So excited to be co-hosting this with you today.
We are taking you on a massive deep dive to answer exactly that question.
It is brilliant to be here, truly.
So glad to have you. Before we plunge into the fascinating mechanics of this craft, I need to let you know that today's incredible insights are pulled directly from the best-selling ebooks available right now on our ebook store. You are absolutely going to want to explore these materials yourself, so head over to www.pitcot.com/books to download them.
Definitely do that.
And while you are there, subscribe to our channel if you haven't, activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads, and don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating. We appreciate you giving us a 5-star rating to propel this podcast to help others too.
It really does help.
It totally does. So let's get into it. Answering that initial question, why bother making an apron when convenience is just so cheap?
Yeah.
It really requires us to examine the underlying philosophy of the garment itself, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. And these Pitcot books lay it out so perfectly. You have to think about the psychology of an apron. I mean, it isn't a fashion statement meant to impress anyone at a, you know, a formal gala.
Right. Not at all.
It has a singular, brutally honest job, which is protection. Yeah. But even more than that, the physical act of tying those strings behind your back is it's a psychological signal.
Oh, like flipping a switch in your brain.
Exactly. It tells the world and it tells your own brain that serious work is about to commence. It is essentially the armor of the home.
Huh. The armor of the home. I love that framing so much. But okay, let's unpack this. Let's dig into the exact contrast between that $5 store-bought version and the handmade one. Because this is where the actual mechanics of comfort really start to break down for people.
They really do.
Because a generic apron is, well, it's exactly that. It's generic.
Precisely. We have to look closely at the mathematics of universal fit. When a massive manufacturing factory designs a one-size-fits-all apron, they are aiming for the absolute middle of the human bell curve.
Right.
And mathematically speaking, if a garment is designed to fit the average of literally everyone, it actually fits no single body perfectly.
That makes so much sense.
The neck strap might dig directly into your cervical spine, or, you know, the waist ties might hit you way too high on the ribs, completely restricting your diaphragm.
Oh, the worst.
Or too low on the hips, which completely throws off your center of gravity when you start filling those pockets with heavy tools.
Which completely defeats the purpose of a utility garment. I mean, it reminds me of breaking in a brand new baseball glove.
Oh, that's a great comparison.
Right. You know how a store-bought glove is just incredibly stiff, super generic, and it almost fights the natural movement of your hand?
Yes, exactly.
But then over time, with sweat and just mechanical use, the leather literally molds to the exact shape of your fingers and the specific way you catch the ball.
Mm-hmm.
A custom handmade apron is just like that, except you were engineering that perfect molded fit from the very first stitch. You build the ease right into it.
That is a phenomenal analogy. You are building the ease and the mobility directly into the structure of the garment. And the Pitcot ebooks bring up a concept that elevates this even further, which they call the kitchen story.
Kitchen story? I like the sound of that.
Right, because a generic, cheap apron is easily discarded the second it gets irreparably dirty. You just toss it. But a handmade apron, it becomes this living, breathing canvas.
Wow.
It holds that deep red tomato sauce stain from 100 Sunday family dinners. Or, you know, the white dusting of flour that has permanently worked its way into the cotton weave from the first time your sourdough starter actually rose.
Huh. So it is not a ruined piece of fabric at all. It's a historical record.
Exactly.
It literally documents your evolution in the kitchen.
It holds your history. And because it holds your personal history, form absolutely must follow function. You just cannot apply a one-size-fits-all design to tasks that require completely different physical mechanics.
Okay, give me an example.
Well, let's look at a baker versus a gardener.
Sure.
A baker stands mostly stationary at a kitchen counter, right? And they're constantly dusted in fine, dry powders.
Right, lots of flour everywhere.
So they need wide coverage across the chest and stomach, and perhaps a lightweight linen that actively dissipates body heat in a sweltering kitchen.
Oh, sure, because the ovens make it so hot.
Exactly. But a gardener, they are bending, kneeling, aggressively reaching into the dirt. They require deep, heavily reinforced pockets made of something like a thick, rigid duck canvas.
Because of the tools.
Yes. They need a fabric structure strong enough to hold sharp metal pruning shears without the blades just slicing right through the bottom of the pocket.
Okay, I have to push back a little here, especially when we start talking about the really heavy-duty stuff.
Sure, go ahead.
Let's take the woodworker's apron, which the Pitcott guides detail quite extensively. If I am working with sharp sawdust, flying wood splinters, and wood glue, I am going to use a really heavy, stiff, waxed canvas, right?
It's wood, yes.
But if I build a full bib out of heavy canvas, isn't that rigid fabric going to severely restrict my movement when I am, say, bending over a table saw or reaching for a clamp?
Yeah.
At that point, why am I not just wearing a pair of heavy-duty overalls?
That is a highly critical distinction to make, and it actually comes down to the physics of body movement. Overalls completely enclose the lower body and the torso.
Right, they're like a full suit.
Exactly. And while highly protective, full enclosure traps a massive amount of body heat and creates tension points at the shoulders and the crotch whenever you bend your knees or waist.
Oh, I see.
An apron, however, operates on the mechanics of a hinge. Because it is completely open in the back and only secured at the waist and neck or via crossback straps, it creates an impenetrable protective shield on the front plane of your body.
While allowing your hips and legs entirely free range of motion.
Exactly. You get the heavy barrier against flying splinters without the thermal trapping or the movement restriction of trousers.
Oh, that makes total sense. It is a localized shield, not a full suit of enclosed armor. And wait, you just mentioned crossback straps, which is a structural mechanism I find completely fascinating.
Oh, they are brilliant.
Right. Instead of a single loop pulling down on the back of your neck for hours and hours, the straps cross like an X over your shoulder blades.
Mm-hmm.
That distributes the weight of the apron and whatever heavy metal tools are sitting in your pockets across the much stronger trapezius muscles of your upper back. It is ergonomic genius.
It truly is. It removes the strain from the delicate cervical spine entirely. And what the Pitcott patterns demonstrate is that you are never locked into one single blueprint. You are the architect of the garment.
I love that. The architect.
Right. So if you love the ergonomic weight distribution of a crossback strap, but you really prefer the breezy, lightweight aesthetic of a half apron, you can absolutely draft those two elements together.
But there is one structural pitfall that people overlook when they become the architect of their own design, and that is the unforgiving physics of the hemline.
Yes, absolutely. Length is arguably the most critical detail you must calculate. The physics of kitchen hazards are quite simple, really.
Oh, so?
Well, if a half apron sits too high on the natural waist, it completely exposes the lower sides, leaving them totally vulnerable to hot grease splattering from a frying pan.
Oh, yikes.
Because hot grease expands outward in a cone shape when it pops. If the fabric stops too high, your legs just catch the bottom edge of that heat cone.
That sounds incredibly painful.
It is. Conversely, if you make the apron too long, letting it drape past the shins, you have suddenly introduced a severe tripping hazard in a chaotic, fast-paced environment.
Right. You're carrying a hot pan and you trip over your own hem.
Exactly. Taking a flexible tape measure from your natural waistline down to the exact millimeter of your desired hem is the precise step that elevates a piece from looking, you know, homemade to feeling flawlessly custom fitted.
It is all about that absolute precision. A simple tape measure changes everything.
Oh my goodness, this deep dive is just packed with so much incredible value, and we have so much more to unpack.
We really do.
Especially regarding the underlying science of fabrics and how vintage aesthetics were born out of absolute necessity. But before we get to that, I need to remind you all to head over to www.pitcott.com. Subscribe to our channel if you haven't, and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. Also, Press the like button and rate us if you love our show. It helps in the recommendation algorithm so others can access it too. And don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating. Excellent. Now, returning to our construction, we absolutely must look closely at fabric science.
Ooh, science. I'm ready.
Because choosing a textile isn't just, you know, picking what looks visually appealing on the bolt at the craft store. It is actively selecting your structural foundation.
Yes. Though I completely understand the temptation to just skip the science. I mean, you get that crisp, beautifully printed, brand new fabric from the store. You just want to grab your shears and start cutting immediately.
Oh, the creative anticipation is huge.
It really is.
It is entirely tempting. But there is an absolute golden rule in these Pitcot guides that you cannot skip under any circumstances. Pre-washing your fabric.
Pre-washing. Always pre-wash.
Always. To understand exactly why, we have to look at how fabric is mechanically woven. Textiles are made of the warp and the weft, the intersecting vertical and horizontal threads that are pulled tightly under immense tension on an industrial factory loom. When natural fibers, like 100% cotton or linen, are exposed to hot water and the high heat of a tumble dryer for the very first time, those tense fibers finally relax and then they physically contract.
So the warp and the weft actually tighten up and physically shrink.
Precisely. If you meticulously measure your body, cut the raw fabric, sew the perfect custom apron with flawless tension, and then throw it in the washing machine for the first time.
Oh, no.
The entire molecular structure of the garment shrinks. Your custom measurements are completely destroyed.
Wow.
The pockets will warp, the hem will rise, and the straps will shorten. By washing and drying the raw fabric first, you force that exact shrinkage to happen before you ever make a single cut with your scissors. You preserve the structural integrity over time.
That is such a vital piece of physics to understand.
Yeah.
Pre-washing preserves the physical shape. But physical shape isn't the only thing that degrades in a working kitchen or a workshop. What about the inevitable stains?
Yes, the stains.
That leads us perfectly into how Pitcot's analysis treats color not just as an aesthetic choice, but as highly functional camouflage.
Exactly. Stains in a kitchen are an absolute inevitability, not a mere possibility. A complex, busy print, like a dense floral design or an erratic, high-contrast geometric pattern, it actually tricks the human eye.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The visual noise of the print breaks up the outline of a stain. If you are cooking with a bubbling dark red tomato reduction or, say, pouring a glass of dark wine, a busy pattern absorbs that splatter visually, making it nearly invisible to the observer.
Ah, it's an optical illusion by design.
It really is.
But on the flip side, solid colors do the exact opposite. They act like a massive spotlight.
Right.
If you choose a solid, deep navy blue or a stark, bright mustard yellow, you are basically creating an empty stage.
Right.
Any top stitching you do, say, with a bright white heavy-duty thread is going to pop aggressively against that background.
Right.
So if your sewing lines are incredibly straight and you really want to highlight your technical skill, a solid color is the perfect mechanism to draw the eye directly to your craftsmanship.
It forces absolute transparency in your technique. And while we are talking about drawing the eye, the Pitcot ebooks reveal a phenomenal professional secret.
Oh, I love secrets. Let's hear it.
Utilizing contrasting fabrics in hidden structural areas. Think about the inside lining of a deep pocket or the underside of the neck strap that rests right against your skin.
Oh my gosh, I am completely obsessed with this concept. It is exactly like wearing a pair of bright, hilarious, vividly patterned socks hidden under a very serious, sharply tailored business suit.
Yes. Perfect analogy.
Nobody else in the room sees it, but you know it is there. Mm. It provides this secret little hit of dopamine just for the wearer.
It adds a highly personal layer of delight to a purely utilitarian tool.
Yeah.
And when you extend this philosophy to gifting, a handmade apron becomes incredibly powerful.
How so?
You aren't just giving someone a piece of cloth. You are actively anticipating and solving friction points in their daily routine.
Absolutely. The data from Pitcot gives such brilliant examples here. Like, if you are sewing for a friend who is an avid bread baker, you can engineer a wide reinforced front pocket specifically measured and angled to prop up their smartphone.
That is brilliant.
Right. That way they can watch video recipes hands-free while they are literally up to their elbows in sticky dough.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you are gifting to a hardcore weekend barbecue enthusiast, you can use specialized, heat-resistant ironing board fabric near the bottom hem to protect their legs from grill flare-ups and sew a heavy-duty canvas loop right onto the hip, specifically measured to hold their metal tongs. You are tailoring a tool to the exact mechanics of their life.
Anticipatory design is the highest form of gifting. Now, for the listener who is feeling inspired and wondering where to actually begin drafting one of these designs, the sources offer a wealth of starting points to explore.
Finding the blueprints. Now, Pitcott's deep dive highlights that there are countless digital blogs and online tutorials loaded with step-by-step photos.
Right, so many resources out there.
And those photos are incredibly crucial when you're trying to visually decode a complex sewing technique like attaching bias tape around a curved edge.
Yeah.
But there is also something deeply profound to be said for the physical craft shop.
Oh, absolutely.
There's a very real tactile joy in standing in an aisle, physically flipping through the glossy pages of a heavy pattern book and just examining the delicate line drawings.
There is a deep analog satisfaction there that screens simply cannot replicate. And what is particularly fascinating in the current design landscape is the massive revival of vintage patterns, specifically from the 1940s and 1950s.
Oh, the retro look.
Yes. We are seeing a huge resurgence of intricately gathered skirts, bright rickrack trims, and highly stylized oversized pockets. But to truly appreciate them, we have to understand the historical mechanics of why these aesthetics existed in the first place.
Okay, pig is back.
During the Great Depression in the 1940s, severe wartime rationing severely limited fabric. Women were literally sewing aprons out of emptied flour sacks.
Wow, just total necessity.
Exactly. But post-war, in the 1950s, commercial fabric became abundant again, and there was a massive cultural shift back toward the domestic sphere. The hostess apron became a symbol of this newly reclaimed, idealized domesticity.
Oh, I see.
The gathered skirts and colorful trims were an intentional, joyful rejection of wartime austerity.
That context changes everything. It wasn't just arbitrary fashion, it was a cultural exhale. And seeing the juxtaposition of one of those heavily stylized retro garments hanging in a sleek, modern, minimalist stainless steel kitchen creates a visually stunning contrast.
It really bridges generations.
But okay, let's unpack this catchphrase of mine. Here's where it gets really interesting.
Oh boy, what's next?
Because the sources throw us a complete curveball right in the middle of the text. Crochet aprons.
Ah, yes.
The crochet curveball.
Now, I have to be completely honest with you. When I first read that, my brain immediately went to those delicate, fragile, lacy things that people keep perfectly folded away in cedar chests and never actually dare to wear. That is the standard misconception for sure. Assuming crochet is a purely fragile, decorative art. But the modern approach detailed in the Pitcott analysis represents a complete architectural shift.
An architectural shift.
Yes. Modern crochet aprons are constructed using highly durable, thick, washable cotton yarns. And rather than open, lacy loops, they utilize incredibly dense, bold stitch patterns. We are talking about tight single crochets or overlapping structured shell stitches.
That completely reframes crochet for me. It shifts it from a delicate art piece to an architectural structure because those overlapping stitches create a literal physical barrier, right? You are essentially weaving a thick protective chainmail for the kitchen.
Architectural chainmail is an exceptionally accurate way to describe it. A dense shell stitch creates overlapping layers of yarn that trap ambient heat and block physical splatters far more effectively than a single flat layer of woven cotton ever could.
That is wild.
And what makes crochet so brilliant is that it is an extremely forgiving mechanical medium. In traditional sewing, if you cut your fabric slightly off the bias, or you miscalculate a dart by a single inch, the tension is ruined and the garment hangs crookedly on the body.
It just becomes a total structural failure.
Exactly. But in crochet, if one row has a slightly tighter tension because you were pulling the yarn harder or you accidentally miss a single stitch, the structural integrity of the entire apron remains completely sound.
Oh, wow.
The fabric matrix simply absorbs the variation, organically adding to the handmade aesthetic. Furthermore, it is the ultimate modular project. You build it stitch by stitch, loop by loop, making it the ideal project to pick up and put down while relaxing on the couch.
Without needing a massive cutting table to lay out yards of fabric.
Precisely.
It is the ultimate couch project. You can literally build a garment right in your lap. But let's bring the focus back to traditional sewing for a second, because I want to make something incredibly clear to you, the listener. You do not need to convert your spare bedroom into an industrial manufacturing facility to build a stunning, highly functional apron.
You really don't.
You can keep this incredibly simple.
We absolutely must demystify the barrier to entry here. The physical mechanics of constructing a standard apron distill down to exactly three core actions.
Okay, let's hear them.
Number one, straight stitching, which is simply using a machine or a hand needle to join two pieces of fabric together. Number two, folding and hemming the raw edges, which locks the fibers in place so the threads don't unravel when agitated in the washing machine.
Right, basic finishing.
And number three, attaching simple straps to secure the garment to your body. If you can execute those three basic mechanisms, you possess the requisite skill to construct nearly any apron pattern in existence.
That's it.
That's it. Everything else, the bias tape edges, the ruffled trims, the contrast pockets, is purely decorative engineering.
Just three basic actions. That makes it so approachable. And let's be totally transparent. Your very first project is probably going to be a little bit wonky.
Oh, almost certainly.
Huh. Your hemline might wave a bit like an ocean, or your front pocket might end up a full centimeter off center. But here is the profound beauty of it. None of those mistakes are fatal.
Not at all.
The apron is still going to perfectly intercept that splashing olive oil and save your favorite shirt. The structural utility is completely bulletproof, even if the aesthetic execution isn't flawless on day one.
The utility remains perfectly intact, and for those moments when you do hit a technical wall and need guidance, the Pitcott texts emphasize the immense power of the digital village.
Yes, the digital village.
The online communities built around sewing and apron crafting are massive, highly organized, and incredibly responsive.
The digital village is such a critical safety net for beginners. It really is.
It accelerates the learning curve exponentially. Let's return to our woodworker's apron example. Imagine you are trying to sew through three layers of thick duck canvas to attach a reinforced pocket, and your sewing machine thread snaps repeatedly.
Oh, this is so frustrating.
It is, but you don't have to sit there in frustration and try to deduce the physics of needle tension in a vacuum. You post your problem in a community forum, and within minutes, an experienced crafter explains the exact mechanism failing you.
Oh, like they diagnosed the problem right there.
Exactly. They tell you that standard, thin needles deflect and bend under that extreme density. They tell you to switch to a heavier denner needle, lengthen your stitch to allow the thick thread to pass through, and reduce the presser foot tension.
Wow.
You receive instant mechanical troubleshooting, boundless motivation, and exposure to fabric combinations you might never conceptualize alone.
You are never crafting in isolation. Mm-hmm. The collective knowledge of that village is just staggering. It makes the entire process feel completely supported.
As we synthesize all these mechanics, the deep history, and the structural techniques we've explored in this deep dive, a rather profound realization solidifies.
Except.
When you truly absorb the Pitcott data, you recognize that crafting an apron isn't exclusively about the apron itself. Yes, you gain a highly customized, durable, utilitarian tool at the end, but the true intrinsic value lies in the process itself.
The process.
Yes. It is about deliberately carving an hour or two out of our hyper-accelerated, purely digital lives to focus intensely on a tangible analog procedure. It is the deep psychological grounding that comes from watching raw, flat materials transform, piece by piece, into a functional, three-dimensional object directly under your own hands.
It physically grounds you in the real world. The process is the reward. So I want to leave you, the listener, with a final provocative thought to mull over as you step back into your day.
I love this part.
If a simple flat piece of raw cloth can be systematically engineered into a customized, deeply personal tool that captures the history and the heartbeat of your home, what other purely utilitarian objects in your everyday life are just sitting there, completely generic, waiting to be transformed by your personal handmade touch? What else in your world is ready for an upgrade?
Such a great question to ask.
It really is. Well, it has been an absolute thrill unpacking all of this with you. Thank you for listening to the Pitcott Podcast. I will leave a link in the description below. Subscribe to our channel if you haven't and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. Also, press the like button and rate us if you love our show. It helps in the recommendation algorithm so others can access it too. Thank you for being there with us, and don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating. Visit www.pitcott.com for more incredible resources. Keep creating, everyone.